friend, our friend, your friend, everybody's friend, Brother Johnny.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to know I'm everybody's friend. Thank you, Brother Steve. And it's my privilege to introduce Brother Kurt to you. He's from Switzerland. He was in Goose Bay, but he came from Montreal this morning and had to get up fairly early. So the Lord has blessed his trip, and he's had several services en route to here. And I've known Brother Kurt for almost 7 years, and I've been to his place in Switzerland, and we had services when we were over there, and we traveled around a bit. And he's been here now. How many times have you been to Canada? About 7, 8 times, 9 times maybe in the last 7 years. So we'll give him a warm welcome tonight, Brother Kurt Bodeman from Switzerland. And you can tell where your town is.
Thank you very much. So I thought we have some worship here tonight. No? You don't? But we have worship in our hearts anyhow, right? So praise God. I'm so happy to be here. It's a big privilege to be in a church like that. And you don't even know me yet? Thank you very much. So as people said, I'm from Switzerland. You hear the accent? I can't deny that. In Switzerland, the German, we have 4 languages in Switzerland. This is German is the main language, then Italian, French, and Rhetoromanian. That's another small language. So my mother language is German, Swiss German. And like already said in the introduction, I came from Goose Bay now. I was coming here on Friday from Goose Bay. But Johnny Beam is the friend of everybody. He's also the friend of God, I believe. And we just want to give God the glory first. I just want to pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you for this opportunity just to share about your love, about your friendship. Because if you wouldn't be our friend, nobody would be here. And we would be lost without you. So I just invite you, Holy Spirit, take over the service so that everybody will be blessed and strengthened and touched by your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, so I didn't know till I landed today in Saskatoon that we will be here. So I got up 5 o'clock this morning after 4 hours sleep and then went to Ottawa and then to Saskatoon, and Brother Johnny picked me up, and we drove the whole day around the city, and because it was no use to go to his home, it's too far away. So we were just on the way here, and yeah, it's great to see you, people. So I was just thinking, I want to tell you something about my life. I grew up in Switzerland, in the richest country of the world, the highest salary of the world, and I was a very poor guy. I was a homeless, workless, senseless, purposeless, futureless, in the richest country of the world. Because poverty is not outside, it's inside, right? It's a spirit. Like prosperity, likewise. The Bible says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospereth. So prosperity starts in the soul. Has nothing to do with your bank account or your money. Real prosperity starts in the soul. Joseph prospered in prison, the Bible says. Did you ever read that? I like that in English. It doesn't say it in German like that. But Joseph prospered in prison. And there was no ATM, no shopping mall, nothing like that. Because he was rich in his heart through the relationship to God. And the richer we get in our heart, the more he can trust us outside, right? So I was poor. I grew up in Switzerland. My father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. Do you know that some things are genetic coming in the family? 3 and 4 generations, the Bible says. The curse will come 3 and 4 generations. but the blessing 1,000 generations. So we don't need to worry about the curse, because the blessing is so much stronger. But even the doctors say alcoholism is genetic and sicknesses can be genetic. But praise God, every curse was taken away through Jesus Christ. He became cursed for us, so that the blessing of Abraham come to us. So my father worked in a beer brewery, and there was always alcohol in the house. When I was 3.5 years old, I started to destroy myself. I don't even remember that. My mother told me I could do that long time, jump from the chair on my head, go back to the chair, jump on my head, to destroy myself. A genetic thing, a curse, you know. Like some of you might be like Johnny. He was grew up as a Christian. I know his family. His father is 92 now, and he loves Jesus. And I can see that protection in his life, you know, in the generations. But with me, it was different. There were curses, there was astrology, there was alcoholism, there was occultism, there was all kind of stuff in my family that came to me. So I don't even remember that. I didn't do that with a clear will, starting to destroy myself. But the Lord told me later, that's when spirits of destruction came into my life. You know that demons are real, right? Angels are real. So when I was about 5-6 years old, I started stealing in the bakery. They always had to get the bread from the other room that my mother ordered, so I would take chocolate and gum bears and stuff, you know, and fill my pockets. And when I was about 9 years old, I started to smoke and stealing cigarettes from my father. Then I was about 13 years old, I started drinking. Smoking hashish, marijuana. Now I was 16 years old. I started doing mescaline, psilocybin, all these different drugs, acid. Finally, I ended up to do heroin. And I started to shoot heroin, cocaine, amphetamine, all these drugs. When I was 22 years old, my life was already finished. I was an old man. I already lived my life. And I felt like 100 years old. Today I feel much younger than then, you know, because of God, because of the Holy Spirit. But then I felt very old, and I was finished, and I was full of demons. So I decided to finish my life, to kill myself. And I was in psychiatric treatment because I developed depression, schizophrenia, all kind of confusion in the brain and in the life. So I had all this medication for 2 years. I stored it. I never took it. It was in my house. So I decided to take it all now. So I took a 2 years dose of medication at once. And also ate hashish and drink alcohol with it. And I was with my parents, in the house of my parents. So I wanted to go to my mother and say, could you brew me a tea? But it was only bubbling and foaming and collapsing. So my mother called the doctor. The doctor said, you have to rush to the emergency. So they call the ambulance. They bring me to the emergency. And they empty my stomach. And the doctor said, this dose could have been killed 7 men. But since he's young, I was 22 then, and since his heart is strong, he might survive, but maybe one side paralyzed, maybe brain damage. So it's only by the grace of God we are here. Not only me, but all of us. And what happened in this time, my spirit, my soul left my body. We all know that what we see outside will disappear, but the inside lives forever. Whether we are born again or not, all the people live forever. Eternity is in everybody's heart. So my spirit left my body, and I was not saved. I grew up as a Catholic. I was a choir boy, an altar boy of the bishop in the Catholic school. But it didn't help me. Nobody ever told me about salvation. I didn't have peace with God. So now my spirit was out there, and I was like a spectator. I saw my mother sit there and people standing around, and my body was in the hospital bed with infusions and everything. And my body was going like this. I still remember that like it would have been yesterday. Anybody I talked to that had a similar experience, you will never forget that your whole life. It's like it would have been yesterday. It was kind of an interesting feeling, you know, to be outside of your body with your spirit. We all be there once. When our life is over, we will go out of the body. That's what the Bible says, death, you know, or what doctors say, death. But the problem was, on the other side, I saw a planet in space. I looked like into space, and there was a planet out of mud and junk and dirt, and people standing in fire up till here. The most terrible thing I ever saw. And people crying out for help. But there was no help. There is no help in hell. And others were pulled down. I saw people fly through space, being pulled to that terrible pit, resisting in agony and pain, but no more chance. And I was looking at that scenery, and I was so shocked. The greatest panic I ever had in my life was at that time when I saw that. And then it started pulling on me. But you know, this panic, Jesus took it away. Hebrews 2:15, it says, Jesus set us free from the fear of death. He set us free from the fear of death. So when he set us free from the fear of death, what can we fear again? It's the highest, the strongest fear. The fear of all fears is the fear of death, to be separated from God for eternity. When you're set free from that, what should you fear again? We don't need to have fear anymore. But then I was in terrible panic and fear because it started pulling on me. But then I felt a hand, a warm hand of love holding me back. And a voice started speaking to me. And that voice said, "What do you want to do now? It's up to you. You want to go there? Or you want to come back? That I send you back into your body and give you a chance to bring your life in order." So I was in the spirit. I was falling on my knees, you know, and begging, please. I didn't know it was God the Father. Somebody talked to me. I didn't see anybody. But I said, please let me go back. I don't want to go to that terrible, terrible pit. And then he let me go back. And I woke up again. This was 3 days in a coma. For me, it was like 1 second. They told me it's 3 days. It was only 1 second. So by the grace of God, I came back into the body. And later on, I went to a Christian drug rehabilitation center in Switzerland. And there they explained to me how to be saved. Nobody ever told me that. And you know, in the Bible, never ever anybody says salvation, preaches salvation, except human beings. No angel, not even God himself. He didn't tell me how to get saved. He only brought me back, and then people told me how to get saved. It's up to us. That privilege is up to you. You are a testimony for God, you know. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will have power to do what? Not to have nice feelings only and goosebumps, but to be my witnesses. That's the cause of the power of God, to be witnesses for him. So a human being has to tell a human being how to get saved. The angel, read the whole Bible, all the angelic experiences. Never, ever an angel, you know. This angel went to Simon and said, send to Peter, he will show you the way of salvation. The angel didn't say, I show you how to get saved. You are the ones that bring in the harvest. And this man already did a job, I can see, yeah? So we are the ones that bring in the harvest. And because I saw that terrible pit, you know, it's such a passion to me to show the people how to get saved. It's wonderful to see how people get saved. When I gave my life to Jesus with the help of this man that led me in the sinner's prayer, then Jesus came. I always knew that there is God, but the devil also knows that there is God. It's not enough to know. The devil knows too. And he even has a work of faith, you know, the devil. He's shaking. He's afraid of God because he knows where he's going to. I read the last chapter of the book. He knows the last chapter of the book, the lake of fire. So they told me how to be saved, how to receive Jesus. And when I prayed that prayer, 28th of May, 1988, I prayed that prayer. And then I knew, now I'm saved. Now I'm a child of, now I'm free of heroin. Now I'm free of alcohol and all these things. But the main blessing was, now I know where I'm going to. Now I know where I'm here, why I'm here. Now I know I go to heaven. And I'm written in the book of life. Not because I did anything good. No, I deserved hell, I tell you. I did many bad things. I was a criminal and in prison and all these things. But God had mercy on me because his mercy saved me. Now I know that I know that I know. I knew it. Now you don't need to take drugs anymore. Something much better came. And that's 28 years ago. Same age like this church I heard this evening. So, and since then, never ever drugs. Not even smoking. God set me free. And then 10 days later, they explained to me how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then, because when I prayed the sinner's prayer, I didn't have any feeling at all. I didn't feel anything. But I knew it was a supernatural persuasion, you know. I just knew it inside. I'm a new man. And then when the Holy Spirit came and filled me up, that was better than 100,000 shoots heroin at the same time. Much better, and no side effect, no hangover. And that's what God wants us to experience every day. What happened in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came? They said, oh, look at them, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, they're already full of wine, they're already drunk. Why did they say that? Because they were behaving like drunk, you know. They were laughing and full of joy of the Holy Ghost. That's why they said. And that's what is so much better than any other drug or rush. Because this rush will take away fear. This drunkenness in the joy of the Lord will take away every anxiety. And you will be turned into another person. You know, once in this my depression time, I had 6 months where I didn't speak a word. I don't know how I managed it, but I was so introverted. I couldn't speak, you know. And one time I was looking into the mirror and my face went one side up and one side down. I almost went crazy. I even thought I was Jesus. I had the Elijah syndrome. Today, I thank God I'm not. That would be the greatest disaster when I'm Jesus. I would stay in hell. But then I took all this LSD in the psychiatric ward. I was in the psychiatric ward. And then I took all this LSD, three, instead of one, I took 3.5. And then I was in this rush and read the Bible. in Revelation, and there it says in Revelation 1 that John was on the island of Patmos and he heard the voice of the rushing water. He turned around and he sees Jesus as the coming king. A long white robe, eyes like fire, the breast golden girdled, head and hair white as wool. And then I thought, that's me. That was a revelation, but not from God. Came from there. So I shaved my head. I put on a long white robe and a vest out of leather. And then a sheep ephod here and a goat's back. And then I took the big Bible in February and went bare feet in my city in snow to proclaim the end of the world. But it was more the end of my normal thinking because I was totally confused. And then I met these Christians. I always went to these Christians in the tea place there because it was free to drink and to have cookies there, so at least, and you had some warm time there. So they said, maybe we better bring you back to the psychiatric ward. So they drove me back to the psychiatric ward. But I said, let me out in the city. I will go the last 500 meters. I will go by feet. But I didn't go to the psychiatric ward. I went to the church. And then I came in this outfit, you know. Church was going on. It was a Lutheran church. And I came in with this outfit, this crazy outfit. Then I went here, you know. Normally the first row is always empty. Till revival is breaking out. So I was sitting here and the pastor was preaching there. And then I lit a cigarette and take out my knives and hashish pipes. I put it all there. And the guy behind me, he got a little nervous now. And pastor shortened his sermon. And then this wife beside him, she said to him, let's invite him to lunch. He said, what? That crazy guy. But it was the Holy Spirit. They were born again, spirit-filled Christians in the Lutheran church. And praise God for women hearing the voice of God. So she persuaded him. But he's now, today he's my friend, you know. But at that time, he was sitting like that, that he can catch me in case if I take some knives and do something, you know, with the pastor. But I was harmless. I was just twisted, you know. And then they came to me after the service and said, you want to come to lunch to us? And then I felt like the love of God pierced my heart. Just because they listened to God and they approached me. And I will never forget that. I felt the love of God for the first time. But it took another 3 years. And you heard the rest of the story. Because this guy is a dear friend to me. But he never told me how to be born again. But finally, God explained that to me in the drug rehab. That's why it's so important. We are witnesses. God has given us the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. To be somebody. And you are, you know, the Bible says that one mountain proclaims the glory of God to the other, right? How are they doing that? I never heard a mountain speak or jump around or do anything. He's just the way God created him. And he's proclaiming the glory of God. Because he's in the will of God. A mountain cannot be outside the will of God. I don't know how that works. So when you are just in the will of God, when you are just yourself as you are a testimony. You are a witness. And God will use you in your unique way. You don't need to preach or to slap the Bible around left and right. No. Just be normal and natural. And people will be attracted to you because you carry the presence of God inside of you. Jesus is inside of you. The one that knows everything about your neighbor is inside of you. The one that has created the universe and loves you and loves all people, he's inside of you. And people feel that. You know, I was now on a wedding. I helped to celebrate a wedding in Switzerland. That was a Nigerian prince. He got married. And the king came also from Nigeria. You know, in Africa, they have many kings, right? In different kingdoms. And that's a king of about 100,000 people. And he came. And his son married, this Nigerian prince married a Swiss woman. And I was one of the pastors helping with the celebration. So we had about 250 guests there. And it was a 5-star hotel. I was just invited. I didn't pay a single penny. You know, one night cost about $500. I didn't pay one franc. But I had to work. I had to interpret all the time. But everybody was invited. And what I want to say is, we were in that hotel, and then we had breakfast. And I don't normally do that, but in this breakfast, there was a waiter, a young lady. She was maybe 30. And when I saw her, I just felt the love of God for her, you know. I never saw that person before. So I said, hello, good morning, how are you? Wonderful to see you. I don't normally do that, but this young lady, she was standing there at the table. We sat down. Now we should order coffee and tea. But I just told her about the love of the Father. And then she broke out in tears and was gloriously saved. Just because she felt the love of God. There was not a big sermon or a big preaching. But when you let room to that glorious Holy Spirit in your life, then people around you will feel it. People around you will give you favor, and God will open doors for you. That's why Joseph in the prison was prosperous, because he gave room to the Holy Spirit. I believe he had to learn that, because he was rejected from his brothers. He was almost killed, and he was in prison because he did the right thing. Joseph was in prison because he did the right thing. I was in prison because I did the wrong thing. But he did the right thing. And he had to learn to overcome bitterness, to overcome accusation, self-pity, all of this. I believe he was a human being. He had to learn that. But because he learned that and was happy even in that circumstance, he was prosperous. He was a witness. Paul said in Philippians 4, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. You know that scripture? You know where he wrote that scripture? In prison. I was in Rome, and then I was walking alone. I was the first time in Rome, and then I was walking alone. Who has ever been in Rome? You have been there? When you walk through the atrium and that forum and that stuff, you think you're walking in an old city, right? It's like a museum in the city. And then I said, this is wonderful, glorious, but I want to see the prison where Paul wrote that. And I've never been in Rome. 10 minutes later, I saw a sign, the prison where Paul was. And then I went down to that prison, and it was just like a cave, you know. You go down the stairs, and there is only a little hole in the ceiling, and in the middle of that for the light and the food to go down, and in the middle there is something for your duty. That's all. That's where Paul encouraged the people outside. He was in prison, and he encouraged the Philippians to rejoice. How can you do that? How can you rejoice in that situation? It's only possible by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, when I was a drug addict, I don't want to become a Christian because it's boring. You're not allowed to do anything anymore, you know. Every party is over. No more drugs, no more alcohol. Everything that is fun is over. That's what I thought. And these Christians are boring, only hard church benches and dusty Bibles. But when I really experienced the Holy Spirit, that was so much better than anything I ever experienced. And the Bible says, fill yourself every day with the Holy Spirit. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Drink from the water of life as much as you want. Every day. That's why we are alive. That's our reason to be alive. And the world waits for that. The nature waits for that. The whole nature is groaning and waiting for the revelation of you to be seen. And it doesn't mean you need to be a very good speaker or a preacher or anything. No, wherever you go, the atmosphere will change when you're full of the Holy Spirit. People will look at you and see Jesus in you. People will sense a difference. We once had, we were praying in our little church in Switzerland. One woman came and she brought her sister. You know, sometimes people say, when the pastor is preaching, he say, hey, did you hear that? That's for you. You have to repent now. No, it's not for the neighbor, it's for me. But she brought her sister and she said, you know, you have to pray for my sister. She needs deliverance. And I thought by myself, yeah, but the sister should say that, not the person that needs prayer should say that, not the other one. But she was pushing her, saying she needs deliverance. I say, okay, let's just worship Jesus and invite his love and the Holy Spirit. So I was praying and worshiping the Father and just inviting the presence of God. You know, the next thing happened, the one that pushed her sister, she fell from the floor. To the floor from the chair and started manifesting demonically. Nobody prayed for her. Nobody laid hands on her. We were just inviting the presence of God. Now she's a little Portuguese lady. She's maybe 5 feet. She fell down and she started. And then she starts speaking with a very low voice, with a bass. And she said, oh, I have a right to stay here. But that's a very tiny, small little woman. And then I say, what is the right to stay? Why can you stay? Then he said, yeah, I have a blood covenant with her grandfather. So I said, thank you for that information. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. Amen. And she was free. And that's what's about the presence of God. We didn't do much. Oh, last year I was in France, invited to minister there. And we had just a prayer night, the first night. We were like 20, 30 people there praying. And the pastor was also there. He was sitting in the very back. And he said, do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. So we did the same thing. We just praised the goodness of God and invite his presence. For 5 minutes, even without instruments, only words, just giving praise to the wonderful Jesus. And then the pastor came to me. He said, he go like this. He said, I'm healed. I say, what? He was sitting in the back. He said, yes, I'm healed. My ear was blocked for 7 years. While we were just worshiping Jesus, it popped open. And then I stood there like a little boy because it's not about us. But when we give room to that power, then we will never be the same again. And all of us, when we know the Holy Spirit better and better, he will do the work for us. He will give you insight for your studies, for your tests, where you're struggling, because he knows everything. He knows everything. In that same church, one couple came for prayer, and then I prayed for them, and I never saw them. I said, oh, you lost something so precious, something so very precious. It hurt you so much. But just give it to the Lord, and he will take care of it. And I said it about 5 times. And then they were crying and falling down, and then the pastor said, you want to preach in the afternoon again? It was not planned, so he called the people again. And then the same couple came, and they said, we lost the baby, you know. we had a miscarriage. And they were crying. And then I prayed for them and said, you will be like Hannah. You will be like a Hannah in the Bible. You will have a son. And when you dedicate to God, you will even get more children. They cry again. They fall down again. And then she said, my name is Hannah. And now they got a child. And I stood there like a little boy. I didn't say, thus says the Lord, I'm the great prophet. No. Just what came to my mind. You know, I'm also an insurance broker. I'm not only a preacher, I'm also a businessman, an insurance broker. How does that fit together? That's what one guy once asked when I came to Canada, the immigration officer, you know. He said, you have so many stamps in your passport, Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, India, and so on. And so many times in Canada. Are you really only a businessman, an insurance agent? I said, no, I'm invited to a yearly conference in Saskatoon, so I'm also a preacher there. And then he said, how does that fit together? You're an insurance agent and a preacher? I said, that fits together perfectly. Because, you know, when I do health insurance, Christian health insurance against abortion. So, a health insurance, you have to answer health questions. You can be rejected. And you have to pay a monthly premium. And it's for a certain amount of time. But the gospel, nobody will be rejected. No restriction, no health insurance, no premium. It's all paid. Jesus paid the premium. And when you sign today, it's forever. No expiry. So he looked at me and said, okay, you can go. And then I was at the pastor's house looking at my passport. And there was no stamp. No immigration stamp. That guy was so shocked about that answer, he didn't even stamp my passport. So when I flew out, they said, where is your stamp? I said, oh, somehow forgotten. They forget it, you know. So they put two stamps, yeah, immigration, emigration. Good travel. But as an insurance agent, I saw many people receive Jesus. Sometimes I forget about insurance and we talk about the blessed life insurance. Or I say, now we had this health insurance. Now I have the general conditions of the eternal life insurance. And then I open the Bible. Or one time I was with this couple and health insurance. And then I come in and then I see, oh, they are both alcoholics. You cannot insure them. Because they will be rejected. So I thought, a business mind would say, get out of here, no money, you know. But the Holy Spirit said, no, sit down. I have something planned here. So I sat down, and then I looked at the bookshelf, and there was a Bible, you know. And then I said, oh, can I have a look? That's a good book, you know. So I took their own Bible. And I said, John 3:16. You know the scripture, right? Everybody knows the scripture. You know it? Can you quote it? Yeah, you know it. So then the woman said, yes, I also pray every day. Come. And then she came with me to the kitchen. And there was a Mary statue and a rosary and candles. And she said, I also pray every day. But one question I ask you. Why does God allow all this misery in the world? All the wars and abortion and problems and hatred and murder and drugs. So I told her, I see in your documents you have a son. He's now 20 years. Let's say he's 6, 7 years old and you stand at the red light and you say to your son, never cross the red light because you can be run over, there can be an accident. And then this woman breaks out in tears. And because the story went on like this. The boy was going anyhow. He didn't listen to the mother. He went over the red light and was hit by a car. So whose fault is that now? Is it the mother's or the son's fault? And this woman broke out in tears. And she said, how do you know? I said, what do you mean, how do you know? She said, my son, when he was 6 years old, he crossed the red light and was hit by a car. I was again standing there like a little boy. I didn't say, thus says the Lord. I just picked an example that came to my mind to show the sovereignty of God's love and our own will, right? But it was exactly what happened in that family. And then she was saved, gave her life to Jesus. The whole house was full with the presence of God, and they both got saved, the couple. But I want to say, wherever you are active, whether you are a preacher or a student or a working man, God is with you. God is in you. God is upon you. God is for you. God has prepared wonderful things for you. When you just learn to give room to the Holy Spirit, it's that easy. The gospel is not complicated. Our brain is complicated. God is simple. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel only to the theologians. No, he didn't say that. To all creature. To everybody. So the simplest person needs to understand. The child needs to understand. That's how simple the gospel is. So everywhere you go, you bring the presence of God. I like to say you're a tabernacle on two legs, you know. You're a temple of God on two legs. Where you go, Jesus goes. And the presence of God. And when you're not born again tonight, you can be born again tonight. When you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you need deliverance, when you need healing, it's available. Jesus did all on the cross. He said, it's finished. It's done. The work is done. It's complete. He doesn't need to add anything. And you can drink, you can learn to drink from that Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I would be dead. Or I would still be drugs, but I think I would be dead by now. But through him, I can live. And through him, I can be a blessing. Through him, I have joy that nobody can take away from me in any situation. This joy is not depending on the situation anymore. I can have joy when I'm in the whale, like Jonah. Jonah was in the whale till he realized he can still worship God in the whale. So when you worship God in your problem, the problem will spit you out, like the whale spit out Jonah. When you start praising God in the problem and let the joy of God room in your problem, then the problem will eventually spit you out. I also have my issues. I still have things. You know, I have to tell you one thing. I have problems with my ears. But I was in Mongolia. Another story. I was in Mongolia. And they brought us to their church. We were there doing mission with help goods and telling people about Jesus. So we went to that large church. It was about 400 people there, 600 people. And they brought us to one section that was deaf and dumb people. I didn't realize. They just sit us there, and then I looked at these teenagers. And they were all worshiping Jesus, the young men and the teenagers. Worshipping Jesus with their hands, you know, the sign language. And I was so touched by that, I started crying. I couldn't even worship. I was just crying, crying, crying. And then a week later, I prayed for 7 deaf people and all the ears opened up. All the ears opened up. And then God said, you see, I infused you with the love and compassion in that moment so you can pray for these people. But I still have ear problems myself. But I don't bother about that. 30 years ago, I would say, this is so terrible, I'm such a poor guy, I have to finish my life or do anything. But today I know it's not about me first. It's about Jesus in me, the hope of glory. There is something so much greater in me, somebody so much greater in me than all these problems. And nobody of us has solved all the problems. Jesus never said, when you receive me, everything is pink and wonderful. No, what did he say? John 16:33. In the world you will have trouble. In the world you will have problems. We all face problems. We all face challenges. Jesus never said, just give your life to me and then everything is good. That is gospel light, you know. That is not the real word of God. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. My rod and thy staff, they comfort you. I will anoint you with oil, I will fill your cup, and I will bring you through. And signs and wonders will follow you. We don't follow signs and wonders, we follow Jesus. And then signs and wonders follow us. Some Christians, they do it the wrong way. They follow the signs and the wonders. No, we follow Jesus. And then the signs and the wonders follow us. So then we don't depend anymore on these circumstances. We might be challenging. We might have problems. We might face pain and things that are not okay in our body, soul, and spirit. But we know He will never leave us nor forsake us. We know the greater is in us, and the good thing He started, He will complete. He will bring us to the goal. He will bring you to the solution. So you can be a blessing today, a big blessing, because what you can do, nobody else can do. Because these people you can reach, nobody else can reach. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's the time now? 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. So, and this wonderful Holy Spirit teaches us all things. He guides us into the truth. Everything I know today and I was saying today, I learned from the Holy Spirit. I learned from Spirit-filled people. He's the best teacher. He teaches you things in your daily life. And He's so faithful. He's so wonderful. He's so real. He's much more real than the things we see. Because the things we see will disappear. But the Holy Spirit is forever. He's God. You know, Jesus said, it's good for you that I'm going, that I'm leaving. Like I was talking with the pastor in the beginning. How wonderful it is when somebody's falling out in the leadership that others can be there. It's not just focused on one person, a work, but it's focused on the Lord. It's, somebody once said, the best leader is the one that doesn't need to be there. If he's not around, the work will go on. And Jesus said, it's good for you that I'm going. Look what happened as Jesus left. How much blessing. Why did he say that it's good for you that I'm leaving? Because I send you the Holy Ghost. Jesus could only be in Nazareth or in Jerusalem or in Capernaum. But the Holy Spirit is in every believer now, all over the world. It's the greatest movement will come that has been ever seen. And the greatest outpouring will come that has been ever seen. But it will be an outpouring of the bad and of the good. I was talking to a man from Syria, and he said, you know, we have thousands come to Jesus in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in these places. Thousands. There are 3 Christian channels there. We don't know about it. It's in Arabic and these languages. But he told me about that. A big outpouring there. Many visions and dreams, and people see supernatural things and signs and wonders. In these places where we, when we switch on the news, we only see ISIS and war and terror. The news will not show that. But it's also happening. You know, when Jesus went through the field with his disciples and they took the corn, and there was also wrong corn or wheat, or how do you call it? And then they said, oh, shall we cut it off and take the real corn? Jesus said, no, let it grow, all of it. And then at the end it will be cut down. And then we will separate the good and the bad. That's what the Bible says. We are in the last days. And there is a harvest of the bad, of the devil. And there is a harvest of the good. But we have the last chapter. We know where we are going. And God wants to use everybody of us to be a witness, to be a testimony. You know, the German word, you can't interpret that, witness, says the same thing like begot. You know that? So a witness begots a new person. You drop a seed, and when you drop a seed, there will come a new person out of it, from all of you. That's not the pastor's work alone. Church doesn't stop. I was once in one church that said, at the exit there was a sign, it said, when you leave this church, you enter the mission field. As soon as you leave here, you enter the mission field. You change the atmosphere. Your atmosphere changes. You're light bringers. You're peacemakers. You have the power of the universe inside of you, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power that created everything, the power that is higher than any other power is inside of you. And people will recognize that. So never be afraid again. Don't be afraid. No more shame. No more shame. No more fear of men. No more rejection. No more self-rejection. No more putting you down. You don't need to tell everybody about Jesus. You don't need to do that. You don't need to push yourself into something you don't want to do. You just need to relax in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, and just be who you are and not pretend or do anything. Put yourself under pressure. Just enjoy the presence of God. That's what we have to learn, I believe, as Christians. Just to relax and to enjoy the presence of God. You know, some Christians, they just wear old clothes and I exaggerate now, only eat corn or something and go to the street with two accords, you know, and they only can sing one song, and then they say, now you become like me. It's not interesting. But we have all the love, all the power, all the wonderful blessings of God, the joy that is greater than corn and wine, the Bible says in the Psalms. We should have a party every day. When you get up, we should have the joy of the Lord. We should have a party in the Lord, much more than the world. Because we know who we are. We know where we are going to. We know what Jesus did for us. We have so much reason to rejoice, don't we? We have so many blessings. And it's only a little part we did experience till now. Are you believing that? There's so much more. So we should have joy coming out of us. Out of your rivers shall flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you believe, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Did you ever experience that? My first mission trip was to Madagascar, 1992. And then I was with my friend from Madagascar, and he asked a question in Madagascan language, and the people stretched their hand. And then I asked him, what did you ask the people? because I didn't understand. And he said, he asked, who is not filled with the Spirit yet? So now it was my turn to greet the people. And I said, but this is kind of cruel. You cannot only ask. You have to ask them for prayer to receive. And then we prayed for the people and they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if you are here tonight and you don't know Jesus yet, I want to invite you to accept him. When you're not sure that you go to heaven, you can be sure tonight. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to ask him to come in and fill you and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, when a son asks his father for bread, he will not give him a stone. When a son asks him for a fish, he will not give him a serpent, and so on. How much more will the Father in heaven give those, the Holy Spirit, that ask him? So maybe if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you never asked. Or when you say, yeah, I feel sometimes the Holy Spirit in the church, but not on Monday morning. Maybe you didn't ask on Monday morning. We have to drink every day. He's not running out of water. There is enough. More than enough. God's fountain is not running out. So if you don't speak in tongues tonight, that's the first sign of being filled with the Spirit. You don't see in the book of Acts anybody that was filled with the Spirit without speaking in tongues. It's always there. Sometimes there are hindrances for that that can be broken. But God wants us all to speak in tongues for our own edification first. It's a wonderful gift too, you know. Because he teaches us to pray how we ought to pray. Because we don't even know how we should pray. And he prays through us and for us and with us and strengthen us. So I ask the same question tonight. Is there anybody here that hasn't been filled with the Spirit yet? Can you lift up your hand? That is not speaking in tongues? Don't be afraid. We will pray. Everybody. Maybe we just, you know what we're doing? We are closing our eyes. That's okay. And bow our heads. And nobody looking around. I just praise you, Jesus. I thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit. I thank you for these precious people here. That you touch everybody with your love. Take away fear. Take away pain in the back. Take away sleeplessness, nervousness, anxiety, anger. Father, I thank you that you minister to these people by your Holy Spirit. I believe there are people here that have back problems, sleeping problems, fear, liver. Somebody has a liver problem. And God is a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I just ask you, if you want a prayer, if you say, I need prayer tonight, then just lift up your right hand now. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you. So, Pastor, is it okay when I ask the people to come forward to pray for? Wonderful. So, please come to the front, the ones that lifted their hand. The people that have back problem, please come to the front. The people with the sleeping problem, the people with the nervousness, with the anxiety, with the liver problem. Somebody has a diagnosis because of organ problem. The doctor told you that. But Jesus is the healer. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. We couldn't have a little sound in the background. Oh, we're just praying. We're just praying. All together praying to God. Because nobody else can heal than Jesus. Nobody else can take away fear or anxiety. our problems than Jesus through his Holy Ghost. So look at him. He is the Lord. He is the one that does it. He is the faithful, resurrected name that is above all names, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you, we give you honor and adoration. We bow before you, the only living God. Which song can we sing, Johnny? You sing a song.
You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment.